Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris. Once again, our guest is Tony Alvarez. Tony Alvarez is a very experienced investor, successful, and is also into property management and now book writing. And Tony has written a book called Breaking Into the REO Business, How I Went From Bankruptcy to $7.2 million in 7 years while making friends. Tony, $7.2 million is probably enough to last you for a while, and writing a book is really hard work. Why do you do that?
Listen, it's harder when you're ADD, and that's not a joke. I'm clinically ADD, and it was very difficult. As a matter of fact, this book was 5 years in the writing from the day that I finished that presentation. And this book is based on a presentation that, as I've mentioned before, I did for the Norris Group, the Millionaire Maker Series, which was absolutely off the chart.
How do you feel the education of real estate investors is received by the public? In other words, late night infomercials, if you had to rate that on a scale of that's got no class or it's really great, I mean, are we on the wrong end of the spectrum on some of this?
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's gotten a lot of bad hits because of some of the folks that are out there advertising and, you know, throwing out a net for money. It's just about money for a lot of folks that are out there. You know, one of the reasons that I was really pushed to finish this book, and you know what's funny, Bruce, is I was trying to write this book for 5 years, a little bit at a time, and because I'm ADD, it's difficult to complete a task, even though I have the desire to do it. But I was asked to speak in Vegas, and just before, I had done a couple little speaking engagements around in town, and I kept hearing people coming up at the end. They would hear me speak, and then they'd wait, and they'd say, hey, can I speak to you for a minute, you know, alone, you know. So I'd go over, and I'd think, oh, my God, another one. I'm some groupie now, you know, I got to deal with. And honestly, they'd come up, and it was heartbreaking, you know. Oh, I just paid so-and-so, and then, you know, some famous guy out there, an investor guy, and, you know, I paid him $20,000. $40,000 was the highest one, and it's somebody who's very well known in this country of being involved in real estate and in business. But, you know, paid him $40,000. He's a young guy who's married, and he's, you know, took the last $40,000 they had saved up, invested it in classes, and then he gets hit with a list of classes all over the country that he can't even afford the flight to. You know, and then I had another four guys come up to me that paid $16,000 each for another guy that was offering something. And then there's a new guy here in Southern California who's dealing with flips and stuff like that, and four people had paid him $25,000 a piece, father and son. These are good people, okay, really honestly pursuing to be educated, to find out how to participate in this opportunity. Yeah. Because, you know, we have a lot of houses that need to be repaired, and we have a lot of people that want to move into them now that they're priced right. So an investor has a real position in this marketplace. We hold a very responsible, real position in this whole scenario. But all these guys that are out there selling all this stuff, they're really just throwing out nets to basically take money from people. You don't need to pay $40,000, $25,000, $15,000 to learn how to buy a house and fix it.
Is your book slightly under 25 grand?
Yeah, my book is $25, okay? And it's written by someone who's real here in this community. You can look me up on Google or wherever you want to go, Tony Alvarez. You can go to TonyAlvarez.com. And by the way, that's where I sell this little gem, okay? But, you know, I'm a real person. People in this community know me. I've worked for Great Western Bank and Glendale Federal Bank in Southern California.
And you don't need the 25 bucks.
You know, no, and I don't need the 25 bucks. It's true. But I want to get paid. You know, as ADD as I, it took a lot to write this book. And I want you to know, if you can get past the first 10, 15 pages in this book without understanding that I'm a real person and what I'm about is helping you to figure out this business, you're missing the point. You know, I didn't write this book because I'm a writer, a professional writer, or I'm a professional speaker, any of that. As a matter of fact, the only stuff that I teach is what I know is about how to participate in the REO business. 90% of all the stuff I've ever bought, of all the houses I've ever bought since the 1980, have been through using REO agents.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that there is a gap of time where REOs aren't even in existence.
Exactly.
Okay, and I'm bringing that for a reason. You use the term lazy. You've divided the book into three sections, and in the third section, 14 distinctions for the lazy and incompetent.
Yes.
And then you somehow relate that to yourself.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
What's your definition of lazy?
Okay, well, The thing is this, okay? I work very hard at what I love to do.
Okay.
Okay? Lazy, to me, I mean...
You mean efficient, I think.
Well, yes, yes. I do a really good job at what I do.
Exactly.
Okay. But
by being lazy, and you mean, I think you're meaning you don't have time to do the stuff that doesn't work.
Exactly. What I do is I focus my attention on what I know how to do, and I kick everything else to the curb.
Right.
I don't want to deal with all that nonsense.
Let me bring up even a bigger point. When the REO business is not in vogue, you've set yourself up where you don't have to do anything there either. So
yeah, I usually retire.
Yeah.
At the peak of the market, with your advice, by the way, and you know it, you gave me 10 words of advice. I was ready to sell out at a certain point in time in the market. You said to me, you know, we sat down. I showed you my spreadsheets of all my stuff. I said, I'm bailing out. You know, I started coming out of bankruptcy. Now I got $10 million because that's what, I mean, $7.2 million. And you said to me, hey, I think you want to just hang on just a little bit longer because the market isn't done yet. And it was 10 words. I have it in the book exactly the way you said it to me because I wrote it on top of my spreadsheet the day we left your office. I went home that day and I recalculated everything. And for people that don't know, the Norris Group is well known in Southern California. They stay on top of what's happening in this marketplace. They make millionaires every day practically out of the classes that they teach, I being one of them. Bruce gave me advice, 10 words, don't move yet. Now, I went home, I redid all my stuff because I know you're real. I know you're meticulous about how you forecast and how you do. I mean, you read some stuff that I get nauseous just thinking about it. And I went home, I changed it, I waited. I made $3 million more in profits in 3 years based on 10 words that you gave me. And then you said, now. I fired up, I sold everything. And what did I go do? I bought a beautiful house up in Smith River. And I bought another house on the Rogue River in Grants Pass, and I took two and a half years off. I did nothing, but I fished salmon until I knew them all on a first-name basis. Okay? I got so inundated with salmon fishing. But, you know, that's the prize for me. I don't wear fancy clothes. I don't do jewelry. You know, I love my peace and quiet. I work really hard when I work, and when I'm off, I'm off. And I love working with friends.
What's unique about tonight is you're speaking at a club.
Yes.
And after you're done, and this will be unique to Tony Alvarez, is there'll be a line of people waiting to hug you.
Yeah.
And that's a remarkable thing. That is not the normal response. But I remember you and I spoke one time at the same event. And
it was in Orange County.
It was in Orange County. And I remember I got done with my half, and I got a great ovation. And you got done with your half, and people lined up to hug you. And I enjoyed watching that because... In some small way, I saw that in advance. I went, this guy has got to be a teacher because of what he brings to the party that no one else really has to this level. And that's what's unique. Let's talk about these agents. Now,
okay
and I'm going to probably skip forward somewhat, but in a very unique way, you interviewed these agents, and they actually said to you, why did we choose to deal with Tony Alvarez? And one of the things that I think is a little perhaps intimidating is if somebody sees your personality, they might think, okay, I can't compete with Tony. I can't get in with that. And then if you look at and you said in the book, read this very carefully because it really is the ingredients of what these agents are looking for. If they want to deal with you for years, read these because the pieces of the puzzle go way past personality.
Right.
So let's talk about, and there were three of the people that you've basically dealt with, which is amazing. If you start thinking about how simple you made it, and that's your goal, it's that simple, that's it. So you get three relationships, and you know they basically kept handing you stuff, but they handed it to you for a reason.
Right.
And in those letters. So let's talk about some of the reasons that they had in common and then maybe even the ones that are individual. So what did most of them have in common? We think Tony is, collectively, we all agree this is important.
Well, I'm going to tell you one. The underlying common thread is I never lied to them about anything, no matter what. In other words, the commitment I made to myself when I went into those relationships was, and I was willing to do this because I wanted to find some different way of doing business that went beyond what I had already done. I had already experienced a lot of success, I want you to know, in the
right.
80s, okay? But I promptly lost everything, and I didn't feel so good about what I did when I was done. So I knew there's got to be another way of doing this. So what's underlying is I committed to tell them the truth regardless of the consequences. Meaning, if somebody calls you up with a deal, and you look at that deal, and you know it's got no profit in it, okay? I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to not answer my phone when you're calling and I see it's your number. I'm not going to duck the phone call. I'm not going to make up some story as to why I can't buy that deal. I'm going to tell you the truth. And that comes down to, hey, can I come to your office and see you for a few minutes? It's important. Well, what is it? You know, I'm really busy. No, I really need to do this. It's kind of urgent for me. And then they don't know what it's about. So you go down there and you say, I need 5 minutes in your conference room. You go in the conference room and you say, look, I came all the way down here to do this because I didn't want to make this just a phone call. I want you to know, you gave me a deal, and it's important to you, and it's important to me, but I need you to understand that I buy stuff that hits a certain kind of numbers, and it's profitable, and the reasons why, and I want you to understand why I can't do this deal. And then I go into the details of, look, I can't make this happen because of this, 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 and this. But this is what I want you to understand, Don. If you can get these numbers to work, if you can make this happen, I'm the guy. I'll buy this. I have never once left an agent's office where I said, I don't want that deal. I just say, always, whenever I leave an agent's office, I say, I will buy it. If it makes sense.
Right.
Or when you get those numbers to work. Because they have to. I mean, what are they going to do, keep the houses? Banks don't keep. It's not their homes. And
right.
They don't want them.
No. They want to get rid of them at a number that they can. They want to maximize it. But usually you're dealing with inventory that's not going to be owner-occupied the next day.
Right.
It's going to need work. And that kind of gets back to another subject where you were willing to take inventory that not everybody else was.
Exactly. Because, you know, if it was that great, you know, it would have flown out. But, I'm willing to do things that other people are not willing to do. What are most investors looking for, and especially new investors? They want the perfect deal. They want something that's easy to do. You know, if they can get a house that was in perfect shape where they can turn around and sell it immediately and at half price, well, who the heck doesn't want that, you know? I mean, let's be honest. But, you know, getting back to what this is about understanding that these people have problems. You know, houses that are dilapidated and boarded up and costing them the city's hitting them with fines and all this. This is not a happy thing.
No.
You know, on top of that, these agents spend their time putting out people. And you know, I interviewed the three agents, and I interviewed them on camera. And those were lengthy interviews, of which I took out about 15, 13 minutes each of gold out of those interviews. And I presented them also for the Norris Group at one of the events. And they said, you know what? One of the agents, I said, if you're a brand new investor and you want to get into the business, what should I show you? Should I show you a fat bank account, this and that? She goes, you know what? Tell us the truth. And by the way, try treating us pleasantly when you call. Be pleasant, because we don't have anything pleasant in our day. We're either throwing people out of their homes, evicting them, or, you know, with the sheriff there and whatnot, the marshal, or we have our asset managers, and the quote-unquote was beating us up, you know, all the time on the phone because we're not selling inventory quick enough, or we have some other problem. It's all their whole life is full of problems. So now come you, the investor wannabe. You know, you want to get in the business. You're brand new. You don't want to call these people up and start, you know, telling them what to do or start pushing them to call you first and all that. They get 25, 30 phone calls a day from people saying, hi, I'm an investor. I want to buy foreclosures. I got a lot of money. You know, I'm looking for a fixer-upper. No. Go to them and solve a problem they have. You know, and I'm not telling you to buy stuff that doesn't have a profit because I don't
right.
believe in that.
No.
Okay, that's nonsense. And all you're going to do if you do that, thinking you're going to buy a relationship, is the equivalent of stamping yourself on the forehead as an idiot. And then they'll only call you with those kind of bad deals. So you want the respect, but you have to earn it. You have to really care about. You have to care about those business people. There's no other way of saying this. You have to care about them succeeding as much as you succeeding. If you throw that scale off any which way, you've just thrown yourself in the pile with all the other investor wannabe guys and all the guys who have put them in escrow. And I'll tell you what, even their best investors, their best performance guys, have caused them problems in the past.
And it's not closing some of the deals that they went into escrow
right,
with.
Right. They reevaluate. And these are pros.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about knowledgeable guys. that end up going, well, geez, I slipped. I made a mistake. Or they end up getting four or five different responses back, and they're all yeses. They got all their offers approved. Or they're not really paying attention to the marketplace, and the market has shifted, you know, within days.
Mm-hmm.
And you know about that because you study those markets. I read all your stuff. You know, and boom, here comes Monday. We had one market. By Friday, it's boom. And these guys' offers are now coming in, all being accepted, and they're getting scared. That's not, you know, you have to understand that if once you make a commitment to a transaction, to a deal, in for a penny, in for a pound, you're in.
And that's a very unusual position. In other words, if you've bought a dog and you have a term that dogs sometimes turn into ugly killer pigs.
Yeah.
That was nasty. In other words, you're going to lose money on this.
Right.
Do you let everyone know in a grand way that you've taken it on and you've lost money, or do you just be quiet?
No, you be quiet. You say thank you. You smile. You say great deal. Thank you very much. I look forward to the next one. Yeah, what's the point? Really, what's the point?
No,
have you ever seen anybody in the? I have never seen anyone in the military that's done a great job for us that's ever come back and said, geez, you should have seen it every night. It was terrible. There was sand in my eyes. It was the heat. I can't believe I even joined that thing. No. That's what heroes are made of, really.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to compare myself to them because in no way am I in the same position as those young men and women. But that's an example for us to emulate. Of course.
Yes. Okay.
You know, you bring that into business. Can you imagine if those people come back here and go into the real estate industry? I'll be out of business.
You have a great statement. Performance at one speed, relation building at a different speed.
Yes.
Speed.
Yeah. Performance, which is about doing the business and stuff, you know, and I guess the military is a good example also. I mean, they're all about, okay, go, fast, come on. Now, relationship building, you know, I never got a date where I went, okay, hurry up, get your purse, let's go, we're on our way, come on, restaurant won't wait, you know? No, you're not getting that date. It's about slowing down and listening. Performance is about doing things, you know, at a high level of speed and accuracy. Relationship building, you better be paying attention. And shut your trap. Listen carefully and pay attention to the needs of that other individual.
And sometimes they're not spoken, but they're observable.
Yes.
So you like to go into an office.
Absolutely.
See what's surrounding them, huh?
Yeah. Well, what do you have in your office? What do I have in mine? I got my grandson's picture right in front. I mean, anything that means anything to me, the things that make me go to work, you know, the whys behind the things we do, really disclose who we are, okay? So, you know, you think I'm going to work every day to do these deals from my bank account anymore? My son doesn't even care about the real estate business. He told me he's an actor. He's doing a great job. He's doing a lot of commercials now. But he doesn't like real estate. My grandson, we're having a conversation one day driving around the city, and my grandson was in the back seat. And I told my son, I said, you know, when I'm gone, you know, you get to. My son said, Dad, I don't want any of that. Give it to whoever you want. My grandson undid his seatbelt and jumped to the front of the seat. 11 years old. His head was between us. He goes, I'll take it, Grandpa. Okay? So he comes out and he drives the houses with me and stuff like that. You know, so I'm working for him. I got a trust set up and stuff for them. You know, but yeah, I want to get into that office. I want to know the things that move you. I want to know what's important to you. So when I go do my research and I find out that you care a lot about providing, you know, donating money to softball teams and stuff within the community, which was the case in my, you know, I donated so much money to softball teams and chocolate. You know how the kids sell chocolate to go on some trip or something? Well, a lot of these agents had children. You know, most of this is chocolate. Okay? Good quality chocolate, but chocolate nonetheless, you know? So, you know, you do the things that you would do for anybody who you care about. It's not just, you know, it's not just about the dollars and cents from your perspective. You have to look at, there's a whole, it's almost like a family, community, right? So you watch out for everybody.
When you get in and you're talking to an agent, there's a lot of wasted movement most of the time for investors. They're out looking at stuff that never had a chance.
Right.
Okay. So is it part of our responsibility to say, you know what, this is the stuff I need to see? And how do you train an agent to gradually show you the stuff that's going to make sense?
Okay. What's at the core of that, again, is what I just said, by the way, just so you know. And these relationships, as you know, they start off in one place and they go to someplace else. And it's always deeper. If relationships are not getting deeper, they're falling away. Okay?
It's one or the other.
Yes, absolutely. There is no static. There's no such thing as a static relationship. You're either growing and you're caring about that person more and more, or it's falling away. And there's a lot of other folks that have studied this and said that Jim Rohn has fantastic quotes in his material, one that I have in my book, actually, about it. But you don't get a card from them that says, hey, this is what I expect from you. You know, do this and you're in, you know. So when you start walking with them, you start kind of holding hands a little bit and you start trying to explain to them, you know, this is what I'm looking for. This is the inventory. It really starts out by them calling you. If you ever get a call from them, if you do the first things right, they call you with their worst deal. Let's face it. They're going to call you with a deal that nobody wants.
Right.
Okay. Then you go to explaining them, finding a way to explain to them why you can't do that deal. But if you get the numbers to work, I'm the buyer. Okay. Now that deal is going to drop, by the way. And more times than not, I hope the people that are listening to this and watching it pay attention, because you've just set yourself up for your first great deal, and you don't even know it. Now, after that, it's a process of walking together for a little bit. And once they realize that you're a guy who's looking to build relationships with them permanently, meaning, for example, any broker who brings me a deal, I promise to bring that deal back to them for them to sell it when I'm ready to get rid of it. Now, that could be within 30 or 90 days, or that could be within 10, 15 years.
What's unique about that is that's observable by a lot of other agents, is
it not? Exactly, yes. It's a banner.
Right, but it's such an unusual trait. There had to be a lot of agents stunned by those events, especially the ones that transpired years after the purchase.
Yeah, well, when the market peaked out the last time and I walked in, I have to be honest with you, even the agents who gave me all the deals had no clue I kept that many houses, because they weren't keeping track of what I gave back to them.
Right.
When I went back and I said, here, I'm going to list these properties with you, they almost fell over. I have to admit, even at the beginning, it was a little bit of jealousy. I saw it in their eyes, which worried me. But immediately I said to them, look, if it wasn't for you guys helping me, I would have never gotten to this point. It's you who made this happen. Now, that's very important. I want you to know, for people that are professionals like that, you know how many times I've thanked him publicly, privately, but publicly in his office? I can't tell you the stuff I've sent to his office. All his agents know. And what that does is, yes, you're right. Other people are watching this. I suggest that always thank people publicly, not only privately. Privately is good, but publicly. Don't be afraid to do that. We've only got one life. Use it up. So when the other agents see this, it's like little hens. You know, they come around picking, you know, what the heck was that about? He just handed him, what, 30 properties to sell at the peak of the market? So this guy who knew this agent who got me all these deals forgot that I still had them. Now he's going to make $500,000 in commissions within weeks, because at the peak of the market,
they were going.
Stuff is selling faster than you can even list it, right?
Yep.
Now, did I have to do that?
No.
But in my way of thinking, that's the only way to do it.
Now, that evolved, because the 80s version of Tony wouldn't have done that?
No, not at all. The 80s Tony, I would have been selling that myself and you know, trying to get the other guys to take less commission even though they're buying. And I mean, you know, any way I could squeeze that dollar, I'd be doing it.
This is a great statement in the book. I'm relentless in loving the people I meet.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
That means that I go back to what my mom said, which is love people first. And that's where all my energy goes. If I'm not doing that, Bruce, I'm not doing my job. Okay, we all have different beliefs. You know, why you're here, what's your job, what's the main thrust of your life. In mine, I only feel my life. I only feel myself alive when I'm doing that. And here's one point I want you to remember: when someone loves you, or when you love someone, where do you feel that? You feel that in you.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I extend anything to you, to business people, to you as my friend, anybody, I'm the one who's getting the benefits of that. And anybody who understands acts of kindness and serotonin levels in the body, you understand that when you're kind to someone, and it's been documented, it affects the initiator of that act of kindness, the recipient, and the witness. It raises their level of serotonin levels in their body, and there's nothing they can do about it. Now, if our Creator made us, and I believe in a Creator without a doubt, if he put that into us, why should you ignore it? I want to capitalize on that, okay? I want to hug every business associate I have as often as possible. You know, I want to tell them that I care about what we're doing. I want to show them that, and that's feeding me. It's increasing my health and my life, and it's doing the same for everybody else. So, I mean, that's the way I've done my business. I've never found anything that works better than that, and I don't think I don't think any other recipe exists.
I think the most important thing connected with that is that it's not about a manipulation. It's the genuine article that you actually really care about the people you deal with, and I'm one of them. Tony Alvarez, his book, Breaking into the REO Business, How I Went from Bankruptcy to $7.2 million in 7 years While Making Friends. Tony, it's been a great two shows. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.